yeah, nice crack of the beer. Welcome back to Season 1, Episode 4 of Weekend's Last Beer. I'm joined tonight with my co-hosts, Dylan and Frankie the Fourth. We have a lot lined up for you tonight. We have, we're going to talk about the U.S. Open reactions. We're going to talk about Dylan's driver fiasco. We're going to talk about places we want to play at for golf. And then we're going to round it out with Father's Day. So Father's Day, talking about Frank's first Father's Day. So before we start, any fathers out there, happy Father's Day. We do appreciate what you do for me. Other than that, how am I host doing tonight?
Doing good, man. It was a good day. Great weekend.
Dale, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, can't complain. Got to play 18 today. I'm a happy little camper.
That's good to hear. Let's get right into it. Let's talk about the U.S. Open reaction. So this U.S. Open, we knew it was going to be a trek for people because we predicted that it was going to be – the winner was going to have anywhere between, you know, two over and two under, and the winner had one under today. So the trek with the weather, I mean
– I called that, by the way. I just want to say that.
Yes, Frank did. Frank, we made a bet. Frank won that bet. He said the winner would have one under. But you know, today and yesterday we saw the weather just be a menace out there. We saw, you know, it start pouring towards the end of the round yesterday. And then today there was an hour and a half rain delay. And it, as we said, this was a very tough U.S. Open. Just the rough they had and shit like that. It was crazy. So what are your guys' reactions to it?
You go, Dale.
I mean, it was what we said it was going to be. You know, it was going to be tough. We were going to see high scores. We're going to see a lot of people over par. You know, and JJ Spawn pulled it out of his ass, and he got this U.S. Open and with some of those crazy long putts. I think he had a birdie putt. I think it was on 12 or 13 that was like 44 feet long.
It was 12, and then, yeah.
12, yeah, and then he had that one, his last one, that was like 76 feet long. So, I mean, kudos to him. Man came out and played. But, man, this course tore up people. I mean, we saw my least favorite golfer, Rory, out here breaking tee markers and shit like that. So, now everyone sees why I don't like Rory. And then we also, I don't know, did you guys see the report about Wyndham Clark breaking the lockers?
Yeah, dude, he went off.
I mean, that's
like seven lockers.
Yeah, that's a dick move.
Yeah,
like, yeah,
not look good.
Yeah, like, destroy your own shit. Like, break your clubs. I don't really give a shit about that. I've never cared if you break your own shit. Like, yeah, people are gonna be like, wow, okay, but I mean, breaking like history, like, come on, and even breaking a tee marker. Like, obviously, it's just a tee marker, but come on. Like, control your emotions a little better. You get paid millions of dollars to play this game. Calm down and take your medicine.
I think it was really cool to watch. This was the first U.S. Open since 1913. For JJ, he shot a 40 in the front and then I think a 30 in the back. It was the first time anybody since 1913 to win the U.S. Open while shooting a 40 on the front. So that was pretty interesting. But I think what I did not like about the U.S. Open that sort of took away from the U.S. Open, the main star of the U.S. Open was actually the course. Mm-hmm. It sort of took out I think the rough took a lot of like good stories out. Like when you need to have eight different spotters on one hole, like in real life, like if you and I played that course and we hit a ball, we wouldn't be able to find probably more than half of our balls all every time we shot. And I just think it was like, I don't want to sound like such an like douche or something like that, but like at the same time, it's like, okay, like this rough is just like almost literally impossible. It's like you're basically shooting out of bounds every time if you do not hit the fairway. Yeah. I think the USGA sort of needs to look at this and go, okay, maybe we might be taking this a little too hard. Like some of these shots were like duffs out of thick rough, but once it got wet, it was like, we didn't even know where the ball was going at one point. And it wasn't more about skill. It was more about luck at some points. That's how I feel. I think the USGA definitely needs to look into this and go, hey, like, maybe we need to, like, make some rules about the rough or something like that. Because once that rain came, dude, no one was playing good. I mean, I get it. Everybody else was playing on the same course. But, like, what's next? Are you going to be playing in a forest and there's going to be a hole next to, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, they're going to be just, like, tougher and tougher holes that are just, like, legit, like, impossible. And I think that's what you saw a lot of golfers getting really annoyed with. They're like, okay, I understand this is a huge test and everything, but this course is already hard enough. Like, you have it at, I think, 14 stubs or 15, right? Like, and they don't even know what's going to happen when it comes out of the rough. And I think that was a little rough for the guys. That was my two cents. But at the same time, watching JJ sink that 67-footer, and then watching him on, I think, the second hole, he was playing amazing. And then he bogeyed the first hole. And then the second hole, he hits the pin and he goes 40 yards back. Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, this guy can never catch a break. So I was really happy that JJ won. I think he got he's really hard on himself. You heard the announcers even talk about it. And this guy was actually really thinking about quitting the game, I think, a couple years ago. And now he's back on top, and it's just really cool to watch him succeed.
Yeah, I mean, it was the dude's first major win on the tour. I mean, this dude had the lead pretty much all 4 days. He was four or five under the first day.
He was the only one without a bogey-free round, I'm pretty sure. Sorry to cut you off, Jack, but I'm pretty sure he was the only one who shot a bogey-free round this whole U.S. Open.
No, you're right. I think that bogey-free round was it today or was it yesterday? No,
I think it was Thursday, honestly. I'm pretty sure it was the first Thursday. Round.
Yeah, the first round. I mean,
makes sense. I saw a bet online. I think it was on DraftKings. It was like 1 to 10,000 that a golfer goes bogey-free through the whole tournament. Like, they said, like, barely anyone put a bet on that.
It makes sense because, I mean, that's a definitely tough bet to make. But, I mean, JJ Spaun, he played his game today. I mean, just seeing his reaction, you know, of him winning the U.S. Open, which just kind of just really shows you as a fan, like, this meant a lot to him because, like Dylan said, he was thinking about giving up the game – or Frank, whoever said it, was thinking about giving up the game. And then, you know, when he has something like this, when he wins his first major, that just – I mean, I can guarantee you that he wasn't on anyone's bingo card to win the U.S. Open this time around. So it was a tough trek. I mean, today with the rain delay, you could see when the ball landed, just water just splashed up. Like, it was crazy. And you could see the different undulations in the green when it was flooded. So it was definitely, especially today, the fact that they had to, you know, put it on hold, I'm sure it was pouring down rain there. So
yeah, I was praying for a playoff because I would definitely
that would have been cool. I mean, live
podcast watching it, that would be so fun.
Yeah,
that would have been so much fun.
You know, what was a lot of fun for me this U.S. Open, who? And it had nothing to do with the golf. Well, kind of, but Kevin Kisner in the booth. Chef's kiss.
Yeah, that was nice. That was really nice.
Because he brings out a little bit of comedy, but he also brings that extensive knowledge of being a tour player and what happens on tour. Like, I'm watching it at my parents' house a couple hours ago after the rain delay, and he's like, you know, it's nice because the water, when, you know, the water splashing up, it's keeping the mud off the ball, so there's less mud balls. And I'm like, shit, I never even thought about that.
Yeah. And you know what else was a chef kiss during the rain delay?
The 2008.
This is automatic. I can watch this. This is awesome. Yeah. And everybody's like, it's a rerun. I was like, you don't understand. This is Torrey Pines, 2008 Tiger. Like, this is like when I fell in love with golf.
Yeah.
Well, and it was funny because, I mean, obviously we knew it was a rerun, but you saw people on Twitter like, oh my God, Tiger just chipped it in for Eagle. What is happening? He's winning the U.S. Open. And people like realize, I mean, obviously, if you were watching, you knew it was a rerun, but it was just funny people's reactions just to see if people would actually bite on it. So that was cool to see. I mean, yeah, no, it was a great U.S. Open. I mean, I mean,
the coolest thing was during that 2008 was my wife and I were watching, and she goes, "Wait, how many eagles did he get? Wait, what? I was like, "Yeah, he was this good." And she's like, "Oh my God, what's wrong with his knee?" And I was like telling her the backstory of this, and then she was like, "Oh my God, this guy's a, oh my God, this is why you love him." And I'm like, "Yes, this is why I love Tiger. This is like the best Tiger that we'll ever see in our lives. This is the Tiger that we were used to when I was growing up. Like, I wish I knew what I knew now of watching Tiger and then watching that 2008 Torrey Pines. Like, it's like, holy hell, man. Like, that chip, and he's just laughing at his caddy. It's just, oh, it's just picturesque, man. It's just beautiful.
100%.
Yeah. And another thing was pretty funny, though, is looking at all the people's clothes from 2008, and I'm like, oh, God. And even, like, their clubs and going, oh, God.
Mm-hmm. What was you, Frank, before we hopped on the show, you said there was a hot take you had. What was that?
Oh, I think the USGA needs to really do an investigation on, like, hey, like, about the rough being too high, controlling the game. Like, you don't want this to be a cliche tournament. Like, oh, they're going to make it, like, impossible. Like, sooner or later, they'll have to shoot through hoops or something, like, stupid like that. I'm just saying, like, way off. But, like, something like that kind of situation, like, they made it super hard when it's already, you made it at like 14 stubs. Like, I get it, it's the US Open, but that course is already hard enough and you're like tripling down on it. Maybe you could double down, but like 5 inches of rough and they're not even able to find the ball and they have to triple check to make sure it's their ball or not. And it's just, you saw a lot of aggravation. And like you said earlier, Dylan, like, guys are breaking like spotters or whatever. And then the locker room scenario. And then you see guys just freaking out on their own caddies. I feel like it always comes back because you look at Spahn and he was always cool and collected, even if he had a bad shot. Like on hole two, like you saw him just staring at it, like in total shock, but he never lost his cool. So like it goes back to the old saying that Arnold Palmer says, it's a game of 6 inches. It's all between the ears. Like, you got to keep your head on. You can't go throwing your club. You can't be going off. You can't be ripping yourself to shreds at all times because then you're just going to lose it, and then it's just going to get worse from there. Now, I do love that kind of scenario, but at the same time, like I said again, like, sometimes these guys were chipping, and you didn't even know where the ball was going. Like, it was ridiculous at some points. And then I forget who it was. But I'm pretty sure it was Hovland. He was asking for relief, and the water was literally spewing out of the ground. And they're like, no, you don't get relief there. How do you not get relief when the water is, like, basically over the grass? Like, shouldn't that be free relief? Is that just me? But I heard even the announcers go, oh, no, he should have gotten relief there. So I'm a little confused by that, too.
The USGA needs to do a lot of shit because, like, I mean, even looking back to the PGA when it was at Quail Hollow, because they had weather there, you know, they're hitting out of, they're making, first off, if your ball is in the fairway and you land in someone else's divot, you should get free relief no closer to the hole.
I've been saying that.
Yeah, no, before you continue, Dylan, I saw that today. I think it was Adam Scott.
Adam Scott, yeah.
And the ball landed in a divot, and I was watching with my parents. I'm like, does he get free relief? He's like, no, you don't get free relief at all. I was like, that's interesting. I mean, he had a great shot, but like you would think, you know, pick up and clean off and then drop. But that wasn't happening because if you really tried to hit out of a divot, your shot's not going to really go anywhere. I mean, obviously that's for us amateur golfers, but for the PGA Tour, I mean, it's different. But at the same time, no matter what, they should be able to get free relief and move it over like a half an inch so they're out of the divot so that they have a good lie. And I mean, that wasn't happening. And it was just crazy. You know, how the hell do you have a, what, 301 par three? Like, that was crazy.
That's ridiculous. It's not fun. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I get the whole test, but like, it's not fun at all. Like, you should not, like, the moment, like, I think it was Victor Hovland said it. The moment you start pulling off head covers to play a par three, it's not fun.
No.
Yeah. I think a lot of players were kind of disgusted by how this was. And I could tell even Scottie Scheffler, and he doesn't say a lot, but I could tell he was a little annoyed because the pace of play then slows down because, dude, like, you're going to bogey usually a 300-yard freaking par three. And then it slows the whole game down, slows everybody else down. I think it was one time Scheffler was on hole 12 at, I think it was like, I don't even know exact time. It was like 12:01, let's just say. And he didn't get done it until like 12:57 because everybody was backed up. And it was like, dude, like, it should not take an hour to finish one hole. Like, that's insane. That pace of play is just cruel. And I don't think anybody in the amateur world would want to do that in our lives.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Benjamin. That's a fact. I mean, you got to, he said, design a course where there's only one spot to hit it. Yeah, don't allow relief from divots is wild. No, 100%. I mean,
no, that's a great point.
I mean, like,
I love Oakmont. I love all the hard courses out there that have the U.S. Open. But, like, sometimes you got to give some help to the players, too, on some of these. Like, just with the divots in general, like, the fairway is supposed to be a gift to you. Like, good job. You hit a good shot. But now it's like, oh, you have a divot. I would rather be in the rough than actually be in the fairway then. If you're going to hit it in a normal spot, you're like, oh, well, there's a lot of divots there. Why don't I just hit it in the rough and get it out from there? But that's where Oakmont sort of screws you there too, because then am I even going to find the ball in this wilderness? Like, what am I going to do here?
Again, another great quote. If not for the ball spotters, they would still be going for another week. I mean, that's 100% because when that ball hit the rough,
spotters on each side for the par fives, eight. So that's 16 guys spotting balls. Like, no normal amateur has ever had a spotter probably in their lives. But at the same time, it's like, dude, like, that's insanity. Like, I'm sorry, but this isn't golf. This is like sort of mediocre kind of feel to it. And that's what I don't like about it. I was like, do not ruin golf. Don't make it mediocre, like hokey, like, ooh, look how deep this, like, it's cool. It is cool, and it is makes it the U.S. Open different. But at the same time, it's like, okay, like, these guys are – it might diminish the U.S. Open now. Like, oh, you know, it's not real golf. And that's what I do not want to happen with the U.S. Open.
Yeah, and another thing that was kind of interesting, it's like there was – where was I going to go with this? I had a great point, and then I just kind of went out.
Pretty bird.
Ooh, squirrel.
Yeah. anyway, we can move on. Dylan, do you have anything else to say about this?
Yeah, I mean, just the PGA and the USGA, they need to reevaluate a lot of shit. I mean, I know golf is a traditional sport, but, like, there's a, like, yeah, they I love how, like, a couple years ago they came out, and they're like, well, players can wear shorts now for practice rounds.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what? Like, and I love, like, dude, you still see some amateur golfers out there. You know, we'll go out on the weekend and, you know, someone's wearing pants or like my brother's one of them. Like, Vance, sorry, I'm going to pick on you a little bit. Oh, well, I need to wear pants. But why do you need to wear pants? It's 95 degrees outside.
I'm a pants guy until it's like 85.
Yeah.
Like, once it's 85, I'm not a pants guy.
I don't mind pants. I'll wear pants. But I'm a shorts guy in the summer because it is 95 degrees. I'm gonna sweat.
Unless I'm at like a premier golf course, I'll wear pants.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on the situation. But like, that's the thing. Like, even if you're at a premier golf course, if it's 100 degrees outside, you should be wearing shorts. Because
I'm sort of in that dilemma right now with French Licks. I'm like, do I bring pants or do I bring shorts? But it's gonna be in the middle of July in Indiana, like. I just chat, please let me know what I should do. Comment, please, for the love of God.
I will say this, I'm gonna move on to the next topic. It was actually incredible seeing these guys hit out of the rough. I mean, you would think that it would just be straight grass and no ball movement at all. Dude, they were They were hitting that ball. They were hitting it out of that rough. And yeah, I don't think I could do that. I think I would duff it in 2 feet in front of me. But like that was just – that's the difference where it's like you got the amateur golfer right here, right? And then you have the PGA guys right here. And they're just way better than us. They're way stronger than us. They've been doing this for years. And it was just – that kind of was cool seeing how much force they exerted to get out of that rough and how where it went. So that was pretty cool to see.
I mean, yeah, I agree to that point. But at the same time, a lot of this rough, if I'm watching the pro, I want to watch them how they spin it back, how they spin it, how they use the greens and everything like that. But you saw a lot of guys just duff shots and they're like, dude. And then they hit the next ball and it's going over the green into the rough or in the sand trap. And it's like, dude, I'm here to watch pros. I'm not here to watch them suffer. Like, I felt like this was more of like, hey, let's watch these guys suffer. And I was like sort of annoyed by it because I want to see these guys backspin a ball into a cup or get it at least like 2 feet near the hole. And I mean, we did get some of that, but there was some, like, even with the par threes with 300, like, I want these guys to be close to the goddamn hole. I want to see a hole in one. I think we did see a hole in one on Friday, right? I forget who it was, but like,
and then we also saw an albatross though.
Yeah, the albatross was really cool. That was sick. That was only the fourth albatross in US Open history, right?
Sadly, it was Patrick Reed, but that's another girl. I have a lot of golfers I just don't like. Patrick Reed's another one. He's a cheating scumbag.
You don't like him at all. You told me that on the golf cart a couple of weeks ago, and I was laughing. Yeah. I was like, okay, I can see that.
I was a little mean. I did call him a mean name, but, you know, it's okay.
It's okay.
He deserves it.
All right. Well, moving on, we're talking about there was, you know, previous tournaments, there was a dilemma with a club being a driver. It was Rory, right? I think this happened years ago. And this was like a month ago or whatever. He couldn't use his driver. And on this team, we have somebody that was had a little dilemma. He went through a few drivers in less than 24 hours.
Three days.
It was the QI10. It was the AI Smoke, right? And now it's the Elite. So, Dylan, we're talking about you. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. So, explain what your thought process was and why this was a big dilemma.
Go. So, it's really a simple thing here, Jack. I had the QI10 for like 2 weeks and I kept trying to convince myself that I liked the carbon face and I just didn't. And so I was like, you know what, let me try something new. So I actually, you know, I had got it from a second swing. So they had a 30-day play guarantee. So I took it, you know, back, said, hey, I wasn't really feeling it. So I, you know, got my money back for it and went to go try something different. And so I was talking with some people there and they were like, oh, you know, you should do the Elite. And I'm like, I'm not really looking to spend anything right now. You know, I just want to get what I got for my money. So I went with the AI Smoke. And so I went out and hit it once. And it's not that it wasn't good. It's just at that point, the one I got, I was going to have to reshaft. And I was sitting there and I'm like, maybe I should just spend the extra money and get the Elite. And then I spent the extra money and get the Elite the next day. So it wasn't really like, I guess, a dilemma. It was more of a, not a fiasco, more of a dilemma.
Dude, you were texting us nonstop, like, oh, I love this. I love the Q10. I love the Q10. I have AI Smoke now. And we started laughing, like, what are you talking about? You just said you were loving this QI10.
That was blah, me. Blah, blah. That and was then, me trying to convince myself, Frank. That was more for myself than anyone
then
else.
You go, oh my God, the AI Smoke. Oh my God, the AI Smoke. I just need to get it shafted and it's next. And then next day I see a picture of the Elite that what I have now and I love that club and I think I talked you up about it. I was like, dude, if you just get the Elite, you'll never think twice, blah blah, yeah, blah blah blah. And then all of a sudden I see it and I was like, did I do that? He goes, yeah, I sort of blaming you, and I'm telling my wife I'm blaming you too.
No, like, I mean, it was a good deal. It was a good deal. I think I ended up spending like $250 to $275 out of pocket somewhere in there after the whole trade-in value.
That's not bad.
So, like, in all reality, it wasn't bad at all to get the Elite. And at this point, I love it. I mean, I went from Callaway driver. My gamer I had for a couple years was the Epic Max, and I love the Callaway face. Especially this new one, this jailbreak, I think it's like the A10, AI10 or something like that, jailbreak. And, I'm crushing the ball now. Shot a 74 the other day over here at Ed Oliver's. Nice. Was driving the ball beautifully. So I'm like, yeah, no turning back, as you can see.
Yeah, got the hat and everything.
I was pretty tempted today. I was at the pro shop near my dad's, at my dad's country club, and I saw all the milled grid TaylorMade wedges, and they're like, oh, it's 20% off everything for Father's Day if you're a father. And Sarah just beelined right at me. She's like, we're leaving now. I'm like, wait. And she was like, nope, we're out. And I'm like, damn it. Why did he have to say it out loud?
Yeah, you know,
she knew better. She knew.
How could they say that? How would they know if you're a father or not? You could just say, yeah,
I'm a father. You're with a kid. If you have your kid, okay. They're like, I had literally Frankie on my shoulder, and they're like, hey, just to let you know. And I was like, oh, really? I saw from and then Sarah beelined right to me. She's like, we're leaving. I'm like, no.
He said, oh, God.
Here's my credit card. Just send it to me.
Exactly. Off it.
Just throw the credit card across.
At them. Yeah. Now, Dylan, I'm glad that you're happy with that driver. I saw firsthand when we played last weekend that you weren't hitting the driver as well as you have been when we played with Frank last. So I'm glad to find out that you are hitting the ball a lot better now, and I'm glad you figured out what club you wanted. So that's good to hear. It was a funny in the chat. It was a funny conversation. That we just got these texts from Dylan. Oh, I'm getting this. Oh wait, no, I'm getting this. It's like, dude, what are?
And then he was going, I love this club. It's so great, Grant. And then the next night, fuck that club.
it's all a mental game, man. Like Arnold Palmer said, it's a game of 6 inches, and you're trying to tell yourself, trying to tell yourself, oh, this is great. I'm loving it. And then in my head, back of my head, I'm sitting there and I'm like, this thing is a piece of shit.
I like the Q10, but I went to the Callaway guy and tried the Elite, and I was like, yeah, I'm sold.
Yeah, but just always remember, everyone in the chat, everyone who's watching, it's always the clubs, not the golfer.
Never.
Whenever you start playing like shit, go buy new clubs.
Yeah, that's it. That's always it. Every wife just cringed for some reason listening to this.
Kayla's sitting there and watching, and she's like, Jack, I swear to God, if you do this shit, just text him.
No, yeah, no, 100%. Like I said, I'm going to Myrtle Beach next weekend for a little vacation, and there's the PGA Tour, so definitely going to be going in there and maybe buying some stuff.
You gotta play World Tour, dude. I love that course out there.
Where is that?
It's at Myrtle Beach.
World Tour, okay. The goal is
fun.
It's gonna be me and her.
But it's fun.
It's gonna be me and her, and then she's gonna play a little bit, but like she's not gonna play the whole 18. She's just gonna be a ride along. So I want to go to a course that I'm making a good, like I'm spending a decent amount of money, but I'm also enjoying the course myself. So. If anyone in the chat wants to let me know some courses out in Myrtle Beach that I should go and play, because we're going to probably play 2 days there.
Ooh.
Speaking of Myrtle Beach, let's talk about some golf destinations that we hope to go to. So, Dylan or Frank, please talk about that real quick.
I know. So, I was actually being kind of bad at work the other day, and I was just looking up, like, odd resorts, just like – what people would like never think of, like a cool like golf place or anything like that. There's two resorts I want to go to. I want to do the Omni in Pittsburgh and Virginia. I always wanted to go to those resorts. They're a little pricey. Actually, side note, at Omni Pittsburgh, right outside of Pittsburgh, that's where they filmed The Bachelor one season, just for all you Bachelor people. And how I know that? I watch it with my wife. Judge me. Other news, there's another golf course. Actually, my brother-in-law lives in Cooperstown, New York. And there is a sick hotel that's right on the lake in Cooperstown, literally steps away from the Baseball Hall of Fame. And it's one of the top like golf courses in New York, and it's all in the resort. And that is one of my main goals, is to play there too. And the fun thing is, if you order a Manhattan, they give you a little ice that's shaped as a baseball. So yeah, I did stop there and grab a drink there and walk the course a little bit. But in the next few couple months, I think I'm going to be playing there. So that's what I'm excited about. Next. Do not make fun of me for watching The Bachelor.
Now, see, I can't make fun of you for that because Caitlin tries to get me to watch Love Island with her. And I don't watch it.
Yeah. That's what happened to me. You like just sit there, you're looking at your phone. Then you're like, why is she so mean to her?
Yeah. And it's I'm sitting there and I'm like, wait, what are they doing? Why is there mustard? Like, I don't know if anyone watches Love Island or their girlfriends, fiancés, wives watch Love Island, but
that was me with Vanderpump too. That was reckless.
Show's wild.
All in on that show on Vanderpump.
But speaking of golf destinations, get back to the fun shit here.
ADHD all the way.
So there's quite a few places I want to go. One of them is Pinehurst, of course. Another one is one that not a lot of people think about off the top of their heads, but it's Erin Hills in Wisconsin. Now, if you're talking about a golf resort, shit. Like, that's one that rivals Pinehurst with all the different stuff they have there. And it's in Wisconsin, so, I mean, I was just in Wisconsin. The cheese curds out there, I'm surprised I came back like the same weight I went because of how much cheese curds I ate in Wisconsin. And I'm lactose intolerant, so that shows you how good they were because I was willing to suffer. And then another place that I've been to, I haven't played the course or stayed there, but the whole PGA district there in Frisco, Texas.
I was thinking that too. Damn it.
Fields Ranch. I'm playing there next time I go down there. But man, that whole complex there with the Omni Resort, beautiful area. Of course. I mean, there's a lot of spots that are great. Like I think we're talking about going and playing Bedford Omni Springs Bedford. And then TPC Scottsdale, Myrtle Beach. I mean, that's where my bachelor party is next year, and I know these guys are talking about possibly coming down and meeting us there.
Yep.
So I mean, bunch of places on the radar. So it's just getting to planning around these little adult jobs we have.
I sort of want to do Big Cedar too. I know the YouTube Classic is going to be there, but I mean, my God, dude, that place looks so amazing. It looks like such a like perfect golf trip destination, and it just looks so cool. I would even love to go to the YouTube Classic, not to participate in, just to watch these guys golf that we probably all watch, you know, at time to times. So I'm really excited about that, and I want to see how they play. And of course, I never saw the course altogether, so I can't wait for that tournament.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun tournament. Another place I completely forgot about it. I would love to play. I actually had a tee time scheduled there, but then shit didn't work out with getting my clubs there when I went. Was Fossil Trace in Colorado, where they actually have a dinosaur fossil on one of the holes, like in the rock. Like, it's cool as shit. Like, I had a tee time there booked and everything for my birthday last year because we were going to Colorado. And just, like, the whole ship sticks thing didn't work out. It's before I had my travel bag. And so I just didn't end up doing it, which I regret heavily.
Yeah. I'm actually buying a travel bag like next week. I'm going to buy the ghost bag because it's going to just match my ghost bag that I have right now. So it's going to be a ghost travel bag.
Yeah. I mean, I went with the hard shell one just because I don't trust airlines and I'd rather have it in a hard shell than anything. Yeah. It may weigh a little bit more. Yeah. But I think the heaviest I've ever had is like 49 pounds. So like right there at the cusp, but you make it work when you need to.
Yeah. I just take my heads off of my clubs. I don't. Like, well, my driver and my, you know,
woods and shit like that.
My woods, yeah. I take the heads off.
Yeah, there's this one course that I saw. It's called The Keep. It's in Southwest Georgia. And 4Play played there. It's a course that is being built right now. and it's a walk-only course. It's on top of a mountain, right? And it is the coolest course I've ever seen, like, in my life. And I would love to go to Georgia and play it because it's a public course. So definitely want to go there. Definitely there's a lot of golf to be played in, you know, South Carolina. I want to play some of the courses there. So we'll see, you know, my experience, you know, Myrtle Beach this upcoming week to see what courses I like and what is recommended. But I always wanted to play at Pinehurst. My cousin's played at Pinehurst before. He went there for a guy's trip like last year, and he said it was literally the greatest experience of his life. They had a mini mansion that was on the course, and they said you could just walk out, get in a golf cart and hop and play the course. So I definitely want to do that. I think Pinehurst would be a fun trip to do, especially, you know, just the atmosphere and, you know, what has been played there. I would want to play Bethpage Black. I think that would be a cool course to play at. Pebble Beach is always on my bucket list. I know some people that have played there before, and they said it's a challenging course. You got to keep it low because the wind off the sea is just insane.
I would have such a problem there.
Yeah, so would I.
I hit it too high.
If we get better at this sport of golf, I think we'll be fine. Not to worry about it. So
yeah.
Pebble Beach has always been on my bucket list. I think it's on everyone's bucket list who's a golfer.
No problem. We'll just get so much better.
We will. Yeah.
Well, I'm actually going to host a clinic next week. It's $400 an hour, so nothing steep, but I'll let you guys hit knockdowns. It's okay.
Another place that I would want to go to, it's not a course, it's the Kingdom, TaylorMade Kingdom. It's cool. I don't know if it's free to go, but I know you can just sign up and go there and just test out the clubs. So that would be fun. I mean, you don't have to be a PGA Tour player. You can be, you know, your average Joe, but I think it'd be cool just to witness it and experience like just the history of that place.
I always wanted to go to like a professional club fitting, like when like the club like manufacturers go out to like a certain city and go, hey, we're here, but like you're paying like top of the line dollar for your clubs. Like your clubs that would usually cost $1,500 is like $2,800 because you got a like professional club fitter for every single stick that you have in your bag. And they go through your like driver all the way down to your putter and they just fit you for everything. And it's like for 4 hours, like 4 to 5 hours you're there. I always wanted to do that and get really like fitted and see what they would fit me for, you know, especially Callaway or TaylorMade, just saying.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if Callaway's listening, but like, hey, we love you.
I love my TaylorMade irons and I love my Callaway woods and driver. So yeah, just saying.
just saying, you know, just in even case.
Even though the new Apex Copper clubs, they look really sick. I don't know if you guys got a chance to look at those.
Oh, I saw them.
Oh my god, they look so pretty. They look sick. But I feel like they wouldn't last long because you just get one scratch and the copper scrapes right off. So it probably looks pretty for like 10 rounds and then it starts looking like crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm looking for a driver, so I need help trying to figure out which driver to use. I don't want to have.
I know who you should ask. Dylan tried every single freaking arsenal.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Well, I don't know. Me and Frank say that Elite's pretty terrible, so I wouldn't get one.
Yeah, Elite is the best driver in the game right now, and it's ranked as number one.
Because
in every golf magazine I have, it's number one.
Yeah.
I was playing this weekend, and I don't know what happened, but I crushed my drive on, I think it was like the 12th hole. And just after that hole, there was like a little rattling going on. And I don't know if like a piece of it broke, but it just was screwing up my drivers the rest of the round. So I don't know if it's an easy fix or if it's something that I need to like, you know, get a new club for or take it to somebody. Because dude, it sounded awful. Like it was not, you know, a good sound at all. And I didn't hear it snap.
Respectfully, Jack, you're beat. You need a new club.
New driver.
Yeah, that's not a fix at all. You cannot fix that.
I kind of figured that's kind of what the case scenario is. So, oh well. So, well,
just shooting it. I'll walk through all the different clubs that I've had in the last.
Yeah, and buy a club. I should buy a club, and then after 2 days of using it, I should, or 2 weeks of using it, I should get a different driver.
No, usually I limit mine to like 36 hours, and then I get a new one.
And there's
TSI 3 for me. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one. You can't, the Titleist drivers, actually, the TSIs, I played with a guy when I was down in Texas a month or two ago. He just got the GT3 and he was loving that. So, I mean, it all depends on what you like. Like I said, like, I like Callaway just because I'm so used to the face and the driver head shape of Callaway. But, you know, to each their own. Some people do like the carbon face of the TaylorMade. Some people like
the square.
That's
what you should get, the Nike square.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
It sounds like a mortar round. Donk.
That's crazy. Yeah, I will. I'll keep you up to date what club I look at and getting. But I like the, thank you for the recommendation. 009M TSI.
You should go get like a Top Flight or like a Tour Edge or something.
Kirkland.
That's
a whole new set.
Well, building up to the rest of the show, we had somebody that we, you know, said Happy Father's Day to last episode. So, Frank, again, Happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
This was your first Father's Day. How was it? And, you know, how'd you like it? How'd you like being?
It was awesome, dude. I mean, I got some really, Sarah got me a really cool gift from Frankie. And I try to get through the book today, and I lost it. Like, I was like crying hysterically because it's just a book, like, it's just customizable, and it looks like me and it looks like him. And it just talks about like life and how he's going to grow and how I'm going to get old, and then he might have to take care of me. And I was like, oh God, it just destroyed me, basically. So I was a mess for a solid hour after reading it. And then, but here's the funny story. So I'm going to say in September, I got two root canals back on my back molars, on my right side. And I guess something happened, like it cracked on last Saturday. Something cracked in one of my teeth. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, I got to go to the dentist. So I had a set up dentist appointment for Thursday at like 12 o'clock. And I was like, oh, I can't wait to go, blah, blah, blah. So Wednesday night comes. And Frankie is pretty big. You guys seen him. He is a big baby for a 5 month old. He leans his whole head back like to here. And I'm like, what are you doing? And I turned around. While I was turning around, he came in and cracked my jaw full speed. And my teeth exploded in my mouth, basically. Oh. Knocked out, like cracked my tooth right in half, my back one, and then the front one, it broke into like three places. And so I was in huge pain Wednesday night. Then Thursday morning happened, 7 a.m. You know, Happy Father's Day to me from Frankie. I ran to the dentist right away. I was like, hey, I know I have a 12, but here's my mouth. And I showed the girl, and she goes, go in the back now. So I had basically a surgery to remove both of my teeth and get it all out, then get a bone treatment because I cracked a little part of my jaw when it happened. So yay, that was fun.
Jesus. And then,
but it was all awesome. So then Friday I went golfing with my dad, and he is not playing soccer. I played at Jefferson with my dad and my sister. Really good time. Shot at 83 or 84, something like that. I forget. Couldn't drive at all. I just kept popping every single one up. So maybe I need to get a new driver. but then on Saturday, I actually had my nephew's birthday. He was 2 years old.
it was really fun. And then it was just like, you know, being dad the whole weekend. And that's probably one of my favorite things to do is being a dad and just hanging out with my son, chilling, just laughing with him and just seeing him grow and everything. And then today I went to my dad's country club. I walked him around the golf course. I could tell that he's like looking at the golf course like, wait, I've seen this before. So he was looking around like his eyes were as big as saucers. Like, what is this? Like, I've seen this before, but I don't know what this is. So it was really cool, like watching golfers and him watching actually people like golf. And the funniest thing is whenever someone hit a driver, like even on TV, if he hears a driver go off, he starts giggling. So whenever someone hit a ball like near us and a driver, he would crack up laughing like that was the worst shot in the world kind of laugh. And these people would really feel judged by a 5-month-year-old. It was like hysterical.
So that's going to either going to be a really good golfer or, you know.
Or just shit like his dad. One of the
two. I wouldn't say that. Well, I'm glad you had a good Father's Day. I had a pretty good Father's Day with my dad. We were going to play golf, but the weather wasn't the greatest. So we just sat and watched the U.S. Open. And that just is the best feeling ever. Just sitting on the couch, just watching the U.S. Open with your dad. So that was pretty cool. I'm glad we got to spend time. And then in 2 weeks, the 29th, we're doing our Father's Day golf outing. So,
nice.
We'll be doing that, me, my brother, and my mom will be playing with him. So that's kind of how my Father's Day went.
That's sick. Yeah, dude. I did not know what to expect for Father's Day, but dude, I was just getting love everywhere from my wife. Got me actually one of the watches that I really wanted. And I completely forgot that I told her like how bad I wanted this watch. So she got me this watch and I was like blown away that she got it for me. But like even like my friends calling me, like reaching out, like even some of the like dads who are dads already, they reached out like, dude, happy first. Like, isn't it so weird? And you're like, yeah, it is kind of weird. Like, because people are like, happy Father's Day, and they're looking at you and you're like, oh shit, that's me. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Like, that's, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, I'm a dad. Hi. Like,
yeah, no, that's like, that has to be like a surreal moment because, you know.
Yeah, because I was never called dad before, you know?
No, and you're used to your buddies like texting you on your birthday, like happy birthday. And then on Father's Day, when it's like happy Father's Day, it's like, what?
What? Yeah, it's a surreal moment. And everybody, like even some of my coworkers called me and they're like, hey man, like just want you to know you're a good dad. Like I see you, blah, 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 blah. Like even a couple of my friends, some people from 302 Birds reached out to me. You guys reached out to me. So thanks for that. And like always, you know, you got to reach out to everybody who's a dad and just go congrats. Even if it's not your dad, I would definitely, reach out to them. It feels really good. Especially when people are like, yo, man, I see you grinding with your work and everything like that. And yeah, you're a good dad. And it's nice to hear that from other dads. So always reach out to other people.
Yeah, awesome. Well, that's all we got for you. It was a weird U.S. Open. The winner was 1 under, where typically you see, you know, 12 under, 10 under. So it was really weird. But happy
What's the next major?
Open July 17th. It's at Port Rush. What the hell is that one called? Port Rush. I gotta look it up before I get mad at myself.
Yeah, it's in Scotland, right?
Yeah, Ireland, I'm pretty sure.
Northern Ireland.
I think it's Royal Port Rush, that's what it is, I'm pretty sure.
Ooh, that's like the one with the castles on it, right?
I think so. Yeah, Royal Port Rush. I just remember if that's one with the castles and shit.
I think that's the one with the castles.
It's the one right on the coast.
There's a lot of castles there. Yeah, you're right. It has a bunch of castles.
Yeah, I thought so.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Well, one thing I do want to say is, you know, if everybody enjoys our show, we're now on all the major podcasting platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcast, all those fun ones, Amazon Music. So if you ever want to, give us a listen while you're in the car, you know, share the podcast if you enjoy it, if you think other people will. You know, we appreciate everyone tuning in.
Yeah, and we're going to soon have a YouTube channel. I mean, we already have a YouTube channel, but we're going to start posting it to Weekend's Last Beer on YouTube. And yeah, like Dylan said, we're on everything now. So the show's Weekend's Last Beer. Make sure you look at it on Spotify or whatever you can, whatever you listen to your music on, we'll be there. Make sure you share it, subscribe, and we really do appreciate you guys sticking with us throughout the night. But anyway, happy Father's Day to everyone who's watching this, who's a father. Frank, again, from me and Dylan, happy Father's Day. It's pretty exciting to have your first Father's Day. And have a podcast. Awesome. That's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. We should be playing our next round together, hopefully, June 28th, which is a Saturday.
Yes. Yes. The 28th.
Oh, also not to mention, we're on TikTok at Weekend's Last Beer, so make sure you follow that. But yeah, that's all I got for you. And play 18. Don't let her know. Have a good night, guys.